Shiru Jovacha. Lord Shiva offered his prayer. Kopakalaha. The right time for your anger. For the purpose of annihilating the universe. Yuga Anta. The end of the millennium. Say by you. Hataha. Killed. I am. This. Vasuraha. Great demon. Alpakaha. Very insignificant. Tatsutam. His son, Palad Maharaj. Pahi. Just protect. Upashutam. Who is surrendered and standing nearby. Bhaktam. Devotee. Te. Of your lordship. Bhakta Vatsala. O my Lord. Who are so affectionate to your devotee. So translation, Lord Shiva said, the end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect his son, Palad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of the material world. There are three processes in creation, namely creation, maintenance, and finally, annihilation. During the period of annihilation, you know what annihilation means? It means destruction. It actually means complete destruction, not just a little destruction. During the period of annihilation, at the end of each millennium, the Lord becomes angry, and the part of anger is played by Lord Shiva, who is therefore called Rudra. When the Lord appeared in great anger to kill Hiranyakashipu, everyone was extremely afraid of the Lord's attitude, but Lord Shiva, knowing very well that the Lord's anger is also his lila, was not afraid. Lord Shiva knew that he would have to play the part of anger for the Lord. Kala means Lord Shiva, Bhairava. And Kopa refers to the Lord's anger. These words combined together as Kopakala referred to the end of each millennium. Actually, the Lord is always affectionate toward his devotees, even though he may appear very angry, because he is of Yayatma, because he never falls down. Even when angry, the Lord is affectionate toward his devotees. Therefore, Lord Shiva reminded the Lord to act like an affectionate father toward Palad Maharaj, who was standing by the Lord's side as an exalted, fully surrendered devotee. Okay, so Shri Rujavacha, Gopakalo Yugantaste Hato Yam Masaro Pakaha, Tatsutam Pai Vashutam, Bhaktam Te Bhakta Vatsala. So Omagana Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Nilitam Yenitasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So this is quite an interesting exchange between Lord Shiva and Hiranyakashipu. Not Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadev. And it's interesting because Lord Shiva is usually the one to express anger, not Krishna himself, or not Krishna's various incarnations, although there's a little bit of anger. Sometimes Krishna exhibits, like when he killed Shishupal, or when Krishna deals with the demons in his pastimes. But it's not that the anger just continues. In the case of Lord Nrisimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu, the anger continued after he killed him. And he was just like wiping out all the demons' associates, and nobody could understand how to pacify him. Of course, later on we'll see that Palad Maharaj pacifies him. Even though Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lakshmi, his wife couldn't pacify him. So he's so pacified by Prahlad Maharaj later on that he put Prahlad Maharaj on his lap and he licked Prahlad Maharaj just like a cat licks a person, isn't it? Like a cat. Yeah, you ever see a cat lick someone? Cat, or worse is even a dog.
Yeah.
It's moochy. When a dog licks someone, the dogs eat stool, actually. And when they lick someone, you're getting stool all over your body. So, that's a discouragement of them having a pet dog. So, I could tell you a story, but I'm not going to tell in Bhagavatam class. So Prahlad Maharaj was able to pass by the Lord, but Lord Shiva was basically saying, hey, that's my duty. You're taking my duty. Let me do it at the proper time. Because Lord Shiva actually is manifest in anger. Like when anyone gets angry, Lord Shiva actually, his potency comes through that person. Of course, that's not to say that when you get angry at someone, you can say, don't blame me, it's Lord Shiva. You know, say you're chastising your son or daughter, and you say, this is Lord Shiva doing it to you. You should be very happy to get Lord Shiva's blessings like this. That's not the case. But Lord Shiva's potency is manifest in anger. And I'll tell the story of how that actually occurred, or how Lord Shiva was invested, or anger was invested with Lord Shiva's potency. This is the story. You like stories, right? So once upon a time, story time, there were four little boys. You know what their names were?
Four Kumaras.
Four Kumaras, yeah. And they were about 5 years old. Now, it's interesting, Lord Brahma, even when they were 5 years old, was planning their marriage. That's actually the Vedic system. I'm not saying that we should do that nowadays. But not that people move in with their wives when they're 5 years old or 7 years old or 9 years old. That would be a disaster. They wait until they're like 20, 22 or something like that. But that sort of child marriage where they live together is not a very good idea. Or where they have older men marry like girls at 9 or 8 years old. It's a horrible idea. But originally it was there so when the girl and the boy would grow up, they wouldn't be questioning, who is my wife? Who is my husband? And that way they would be looking, you know that saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
Oh, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a real rabbit. If it's good, let it go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
So he's saying, so the girls would be saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a husband by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. So it would actually do away with all this boyfriend-girlfriend stuff. Like even in the modern world, they try to encourage young kids to have boyfriends and girlfriends. At least in America it's going on. I don't know if in Australia these things are going on. Like even in school, the teacher will say, like, to some young boys, like, 5, 7, 8 years old, oh, is that your girlfriend, or something like that. And the girls are encouraged to dress up, like, almost like prostitutes sometimes when they're, like, 6, 7, 8 years old, isn't it? Like, the styles and everything like that. So, to avoid that happening, to keep people's minds chaste, then they're married very early. I mean, Sita Devi, I forget the exact year Sita Devi was that marriage. I think she was about 12 or something like that when Sita Devi was married. Of course, the actual living with Lord Ram didn't occur until she was 16. But the marriage was, I think, 11 or 12, if I remember correctly, from the Ramayana. So in this way, everybody's mind was peaceful. Nowadays, like even as a sannyasi, I get letters from disciples, please find me a husband. Yeah. Disciples who are like 35, 40, 60 years old, 80 years old. Not quite 80. not quite 80 years old, but you know, like 35, 40. And so 35, 40, and then the lady's thinking, you know, who am I going to marry? 35, 40, maybe I have to marry someone who has three other wives. Or not quite like that, but like someone's been divorced and remarried, and I got to take care of the children from the previous marriage, and becomes, you know, a real disturbance in society, isn't it? So therefore, it's important, in the original Vedic society, the girls would get married at a young age, isn't it? Although we don't do it that young. We don't do it that young anymore. So anyway, so here, let's get back to the story. So Lord Brahma said to his four little boys, you know, we have to arrange your marriage. 5-year-old boys, you know. And, of course, they were not just like ordinary 5-year-old boys. They were quite educated. I mean, they were more intelligent, billions of times more intelligent than any of us. They're called the four Kumaras, and they are, ultimately, they were the source of the Kumara Sampradaya, one of the four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas. So they said to their father, no. And what happens when you say to your father, no? So Lord Brahma doesn't slap too much. But he gets angry. And the anger came out of his forehead. These kids, they don't listen to me. Right? No, he's frustrated and angry. And the anger came out of his forehead, and that was, there actually 11 angry rujas came out of his forehead. You know rujas? Ruja means anger, like rodra. Rodra in Sanskrit. Same thing in Hindi, or what?
It's crowed.
Crowed. Yeah, I mean, crowed also is anger in Sanskrit, but rodra is also in Sanskrit, it's two words. So rodra is like the anger that destroys everything. Crowed is just like ordinary anger. You know, I don't want to see you anymore. That's crowed. But rodra is like, forget it, devastation. So, anyway, so they came out of Lord Brahma and they started to destroy the universe. And Lord Brahma said, well, this is the time of creation. You're not supposed to destroy the universe now. You know, it's the beginning. What you do, the millennium means, actually millennium, the word millennium means like 1,000 years, the technical definition, but in context it means at the end of the yuga cycle. Like you have these four yugas. What are the four yugas, you know?
Kali Yuga.
Dwapara Yuga. And? Treta Yuga. Okay, so at the end of the four yugas, sometimes there's a partial devastation, and also after 1,000 cycles of yugas, what happens? Well, Brahma goes to sleep and there's a partial devastation up to Lord Brahma's planet. At the end of Brahma's life, the whole thing is finished. The whole universe of Lord Shiva does a dance. What's that dance called? Do you know in Sanskrit? Tandava Nritya. Tandava Nritya means the dance of destruction. So anyway, so these 11 rudras, they were getting ready to destroy the whole universe. And Lord Brahma said, this is not the time. But they still were angry. So what did he do? He got them married. I'll explain this. He couldn't get his four kids married, but he got... So he got the 11 Rudras married to Rudranis. So he created 11. This story's in the Bhagavatam. We're not just making this up, you know, off the top of our head. So he got them married to 11 Rudranis, and not only that, but he gave them places where they could live. They said, "You can live in the anger or in the twilight." Twilight, you know what twilight means?
Yeah.
Like in the early morning or in the evening, the twilight, different places, there's a whole list of places he gave them to live. And they became very happy and they lived with their wives, the Rudranis, and they lived happily ever after. So you see, from that experience that Lord Shiva, actually that's not the first appearance of Lord Shiva in the creation. Let's go back a little bit. The first appearance was before there was anybody in the creation. Because at the time of the universal creation, the Mahavishnu breathes out all the universes from his body, and these universes come out like little soap bubbles. But actually from all the pores, you know the pores of the body? Pores, if you look at your skin, you got all these little tiny holes there. See them? Those are called pores. P-O-R-E-S, not pore, like.
P-O-U-R.
P-O-U-R. So he has all these pores in his body, and out of the pores in his body, all the universes became manifest and expanded gradually, and in each and every universe, Mahavishnu expanded as who? Garbhadaksha Vishnu, very nice. And in each and every atom, Mahavishnu expanded, or Garbhadaksha Vishnu expanded as who? Shirodaksha Vishnu, and he's in everyone's heart and every atom. So, but still, there was nobody in the universes. It was all vacant. It's like a house. Like sometimes you have a house, and then after that you have Griha Pravesh, when you actually move in. You have a ribbon cutting zone. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
You cut the ribbon and go in. You go in the house, or you go in somewhere, and then you have a fire sacrifice. So what happened is there was no one in the whole universe. It was like all the houses were vacant. So Lord Vishnu thought, I got to put everybody in the universe. But where was everybody? They were hiding? Where were they?
They weren't created at that time.
Well, the soul is eternal. How can you say the soul is not created? Where do you think they were? They're in the body of Mahavishnu. Because when the universe is destroyed, we all go into the body of Mahavishnu, and we have a vacation. It's boring because you're just sleeping the whole time. And so when he breathes out, we start to wake up. And so Mahavishnu wanted to put all of us inside this material world. So how did he do it? Did he hire a taxi or something? Now, the universe comes out from the breathing, but the souls, how do the souls go into the material world? Does anyone know? What vehicle does he use? Does he put them on the back of Garuda and they all ride into the material world? Nobody knows. Saikshita. Does anyone know that in Sanskrit? He looks at the material creation. This is from the Brahma Samhita. He glances at the material creation like this, and all the souls come out of his eyes. Because Krishna has interchangeable senses. Angani yasha sakalen triyadriti manti. You know that verse? Pashanti panti tiram jagante andana mayatsa So Krishna can do anything with any of his senses. He can eat with his eyes. Can you do that?
No.
What happens if you put food on your eyes? It'll hurt. So Krishna, that's why when we offer food, Krishna can eat with his ears, he can eat with his eyes, or with his mouth or any part of his body. So sense of touch, he can touch with his ears. So when Krishna can put the living entities, impregnate the material world with his glance. And that glance's name is Shambhu. Shambhu is the name of that glance. And Shambhu, who is Shambhu? Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva interacts, or he has a relationship with his wife, which is the material world. And what's the name of Lord Shiva's wife? Parvati, Durga, many different names. Also Vaishnavi. She's a Vaishnava. A female Vaishnava is called a Vaishnavi. Just like a female Prabhu is called a Pravi. A female Prabhu is called a Mataji. It's interesting, sometimes you're in the temple, the temple, the president will say, the Prabhus can sit here, and the Matajis can sit there. I mean, it's almost like putting people in a different category. So if you're going to use the word Prabhu for men, you should also use Prabhis for the ladies. What do you think? Otherwise it says, you're the master, so you're the mother. Of course, mother is a very exalted position too. It's actually more exalted than being a Prabhu. So with Lord Shiva, he has a relationship with Durga. And as a result, the living entities are all impregnated in the material world. Therefore, Lord Shiva is our father too. Did you know that? And Durga is our mother. Ma Durga. You ever heard that before? She's the universal mother. So, you find a lot of people worship Durga and Lord Shiva, right? And they think they're God. You ever see that? They think they're God. But they don't understand where Lord Shiva comes from, where Durga comes from. Durga is expansion of Lakshmi. And Lord Shiva is an expansion of Krishna. And it's just the example given in the Brahma Samhita. You know the example of the milk? You don't know. What happens with milk when you put some sort of culture in it? It becomes yogurt. So Lord Shiva is compared to the yogurt, and Krishna is compared to the milk. So you can make yogurt from milk, but can you make milk from yogurt?
No.
Nobody's ever done that. Because if you try to make milk from yogurt, it becomes cheese, paneer. Isn't it? When you heat up the yogurt, what happens?
It tastes better.
Tastes better. When you heat it up a lot, what happens? It turns into little curds, doesn't it? So that and never. What an answer! So that's all right. The class is for the children anyway. It's more important for them to hear than the adults. The adults are already lost. The children. Are so there's some hope for that. So that's Lord Shiva. But one thing is, he gets angry very easily. So what is his name that means angered very easily and pleased very easily? Let the children see. Starts with an A. Ashutosh. Ashutosh. He's very easily angered and very easily pleased. And there's this interesting story that illustrates that. Once upon a time, there was a demon, and his name was Vrikasura. You know the story? You don't know the story. And Vrikasura, what he wanted to do was steal Durga away from Lord Shiva. Actually, many people want to do that. Many people want to enjoy the material world without serving God or God's representative. So that's, who else wanted it? Ravana wanted to do that too. He wanted to enjoy Sita without, who? Without Ram. So instead he got Durga, which gave him all the problems. So what happened is this Vrikasura, he wanted to have great power so he could defeat Lord Shiva, but he was worshipping Lord Shiva. Sometimes you find people who worship you to get something from you, right? And even cheat you. Like you go into a store and someone's, let's say a car dealership, and the car dealer says, oh, you're so intelligent, you're so wonderful, Mr. Whatever. I mean, I know I've gone into car dealerships after 10 years of not being there, and they remember my name. They say, oh, Mr. Swami, how are the little Swami family? And I said, I don't have any Swami family. I'm a sannyasi. Oh, I'm sorry. So, how is Mrs. Swami? Anyway, so that because they want to cheat you and sell you a car that's no good. That's right. What do they say? He who praises me is my enemy. Like that. So, he was worshipping Lord Shiva and he was offering different things. Finally, he decided to offer what to the fire?
His flesh.
So he was cutting off his flesh. Shivaya Namaha, Shivaya Namaha, Shivaya Namaha. And then, didn't work. So then he decided to offer his head to Lord Shiva. So he took a bath, because before you offer your head, you're supposed to clean your body. And then he got ready, and Lord Shiva said, "No, don't do this. I'm Ashutosh. I'm very easily pleased and very easily angered." So he was very pleased. And then what happened? He said, "I'll give you a benediction." And the demon asked for the benediction that whoever's head he touched, shatter into a million pieces. And so then, the demon was very happy, and what did he do with that benediction? He started to run after Lord Shiva. And he was running everywhere. And Lord Shiva was trying to escape him, and Lord Shiva finally went to Lord Vishnu and said to Lord Vishnu, "Paimam, Paimam, save me, save me, Rakshamam, Rakshamam." And Lord Vishnu said, "Okay, hide out here, and I'll take care of this demon." And then Lord Vishnu took the form of a Shiva Bhakta. You know what a Shiva Bhakta is? What type of beads do they chant on? Rudraksha beads. You ever seen Rudraksha beads? They have little spines on them like that. They're like reddish, and they're real rough with little spines on them. So he took the form of a Shiva Bhakta, and this demon, Vrikasura, who was following Lord Shiva, he saw him and he said, "What are you doing? Why are you running around like this?" And the demon said, "The reason I'm doing that is I want to attack Lord Shiva. I have this benediction. I want to take Parvati away from him." And then Lord Vishnu, in the form of a little Shiva Bhakta, said, "Don't you understand Lord Shiva's benedictions don't work most of the time? You know, he's just cheating you. And plus, you're wasting your life. You're exhausted. You know, you should take a little nap. Because if you keep running around like that, you're going to die early. You'll have a heart attack or something." And so, this person, the demon, said, "Yes, you're right. But how do I know if the benediction works or not?" And Lord Vishnu said, "You can test the benediction by, what?
Touching your own head."
So the demon, Vrikasura, touched his own head, and his own head split into millions of pieces. And then he died. And Lord Vishnu said to Lord Shiva, "Don't be careful what sort of benedictions you give people." So there are many times there were fights between Lord Shiva and even Lord Vishnu. There was a fight between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu won. Do you remember what story that is? There was this demon, Banasura. Banasura had how many arms? No. 10 times 10 times 10. 10 to the 3rd power. Oh, you don't know that.
No.
10 times 10 is how much?
100.
And times 10 is how much?
1,000.
1,000. He had 1,000 arms. And what happened? Why did Krishna fight with Lord Shiva? Let's describe the story. So he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And he had 1,000 arms, and he wanted to fight with someone. He said to Lord Shiva, "I need someone to fight with that's good, that I can defeat." And Lord Shiva said, "All right, you're going to find out who you're going to fight with. You know, he's really going to defeat you." And then, all right, so then what happened is that Banasura's daughter, what was her name? Starts with a U. Usha. Banasura's daughter was named Usha. And she fell in love with Aniruddha. Fell in love with Aniruddha. That's your grandson. Fell in love with Aniruddha. But how did she fall in love with him? She dreamt about him. And she had to kidnap him using her friend. What was her friend's name? Chitralekha. She had a yogini friend, who kidnapped Aniruddha and brought him to her palace. And so they were in the palace, and traditionally there were no men allowed in the palace. The only men that were allowed in the palace were something called eunuchs. You know what a eunuch is? No, eunuch is a man who's not quite a man. not transgender. Transgender is something different. A transgender is a man who decides to become a woman or a woman who decides to become a man. But a eunuch is someone who's like neutral. It's like neutral. You know, they've taken away, somehow or other, by some operation or they're born, they've taken away the gender. And it's like a neuter gender. So anyway, so there were no men allowed to see, but she was associating and living with Aniruddha. And then her father discovers it. And what does he do? He kidnaps and captures Aniruddha. And then Krishna comes to attack to save his grandson. So then what happened? Then who was protecting Banasura? Lord Shiva. And so Krishna pulled out his weapon called the, what, Narayana Dwara. And Lord Shiva pulled out his weapon called the Shiva Dwara. The Shiva Dwara is very hot. And the Narayan Dwara is very cold. So what happens when you throw water on a fire? Puts out the fire. So the Shiva Dwara was defeated by the Narayana Dwara, and Krishna won the fight. So you see that Krishna is superior to Lord Shiva. There's many stories like that too. So anyway, so of course we're supposed to end that, so we've gone on a little bit too long. So this is Lord Shiva. So we worship Lord Shiva, just to finish up the class, as a devotee of Krishna, not as God. Because the stories I told prove that Shiva is a devotee. He's the greatest devotee, Vaishnavanam Vita Shambhu. Why do we say he's the greatest devotee? Because his disciples are ghosts and demons. He's like saving the most fallen, almost like Lord Chaitanya, who saves the most fallen. So Lord Shiva, his disciple, like ghosts, you know what a ghost is? And demons and all sorts of creatures. What?
Zombies.
Yeah. And he flies around with them. And when people are not Krishna conscious, that's who they have as children, because he puts them in the wombs of different ladies. Not everybody's that. But sometimes people, even in, it's interesting, it says in Kali Yuga, that demons will take birth in Brahmin families. It's not that everybody takes birth in a Brahmin family as a demon, but because they're not following the rules of Brahminical behavior, Lord Shiva puts one of his associates in. And that happened in the case of Diti. Even though she was a devotee, Diti and Kashyapa, right? That they didn't follow the proper rules and regulations, so they had little baby Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So anyway, so we appreciate Lord Shiva as a devotee of God. We can worship him like that. I actually have a little statue or deity of Lord Shiva on my altar at home. So, but in that statue, it's not the Shiva Ling. It's actually he's worshiping Krishna. He's meditating on Krishna. He meditates on Krishna so nicely that he doesn't even bother to get dressed. He's such an advanced devotee. You understand? He doesn't even care about the material world. He just sits in the mountains in Mount Kailash and meditates in the snow. Could you do that?
Yeah.
And he doesn't worry about earrings or nose rings or garlands or anything like that. So that he's a great devotee, so we worship him and we pray to him for devotion to Krishna. And one final thing. And in Jagannath Puri, you know what Jagannath Puri is?
Yeah.
You've been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take all of the Mahaprasad, not all of it, but a lot of it, and bring it to the Lord Shiva temple to offer to him. The Lord Shiva temple is in a place near Jagannath Puri called Bhuvaneshwara. And they put it in a taxi every day. And they drive it to Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva likes to eat prasad. He doesn't eat boga, because he's a devotee. Okay, that's Lord Shiva. So then we have to end class. So any questions or comments about any of these points? No? So these are stories for you. And we're going over your house with prasadam, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, excuse me.
Yeah.
Lord Shiva, the Rudras are not there. They are too different.
They're different expansions of Lord Shiva.
Yeah, because Brahma is a jiva.
Brahma is a jiva, yeah.
Yeah, Brahma.
Yeah, but the Lord, sometimes even Krishna appears from the Lord. Like what? Who's the incarnation who occurred from Lord Brahma's nose? Letter answer.
Vara.
So even Krishna appears in Lord Brahma sometimes. This little tiny thing came out of Lord Brahma's nose. Said, what's that? And then it grew and it grew and it grew, and that was Lord Boar. And what is a boar? Is someone who talks a lot and makes you bored? Like some teacher you have at school, very boring.
A teacher, people that talk a lot is a chinchilla.
So what is a boar?
A pig.
A pig, but not an ordinary pig. Not like you see in Vrindavan.
A pig with horns.
Horns? The horns are like this. Cut. Big teeth that go out like that. I used to see them a lot when I was meditating before I joined the movement. I would meditate in the Bahamas, go on a deserted island. And the boars were all over. And you hear them at night. And I was scared. Because I wasn't Krishna conscious then. I was just chanting Om. Okay. Om. You want another question? All right. Yeah. Krishna becomes Brahma then. Yeah. Yeah, there's no one else. Well, no, the boar came out of our Lord Brahma, who was a Jiva. Yeah. I mean, Jiva, the Lord can appear from a Jiva soul. I mean, just like, for example, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Or Vasudeva and Devaki.
But they appear.
Yeah. But the Lord can appear to be born from a person. I mean, just like Lord Chaitanya, that's Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. So the Lord can come out of a pure jiva. And Lord Brahma, that's just his pastime. Lord Brahma, in our universe, is jiva soul. But in some cases, you're right. In some cases, Lord Brahma is Vishnu Tattva. Whenever there's an opening and no one can fulfill it, even as a demigod, sometimes the Lord appears as that particular demigod. Okay, we have to end. We have a big schedule today. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hari Bol. Lord Shiva is a demigod, yeah. But he's in a special category. It's sometimes called... Some people